Next kina, Eicha Atzda Ba'apecha La'beid B'yad Adomim Emunacha. How could you rush in anger to destroy at the hands of the Romans those who trust in you? Entire kina is a consistent question of Eicha, 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 Eicha. How could you do this? How could you do that? How could you do this? How could you do that? Rav Zatzal explained often that Tisha B'Av is the day upon which we have a license, following the lead of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, to verbalize what might otherwise be misconstrued as a question of non-believers. How, God, could you dare do this? Because obviously, as mere humans, we can never claim to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, why He does it. Mishnah Brachos tells us very simply that Chayav Adam Levarach Al Arak, Shem Shem Levarach Al Atov, that we have an obligation to simply say Baruch Dayanu Emes. We bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the terrible things that happened to us, just as we bless Him for the good things that happened to us. And the Gemara Mesachim tells us that whereas in this world there is good and there is bad, but in the next world is only good. Which means that only in this world we perceive that which happens to us as either good or bad, because we can't understand why the bad would happen to us. So there's good and there's bad. But in the next world, when we have that perspective of looking back and seeing God's divine plan, only then is it kulo tov. Only then can we understand why everything happened that happened. Why what we thought was bad was not really bad, ultimately, in God's overall plan. And this is often the challenge when suffering through tragedy. Never to, God forbid, think that we know the reason as to why a terrible event occurred to Klal Yisrael. It's so easy and so tempting to point fingers, accusations, at this Jew, at that Jew, at this segment of Klal Yisrael, that segment of Klal Yisrael. But no one can ever claim to know ultimately what went into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision-making process. All we can do, as this kina does, is very simply say, Eicha, how could it be? We don't give answers in this kina. We just express the terrible things that happened, destroying us at the hands of the Edomim. Eicha ga'arta b'garasecha liglos b'yargeim ge'ulecha. How could you scold us, rebuke us, and exile us at the hands of the haughty and arrogant? How could you hagta b'hegyonecha? How could you plan and decide lahadof b'yadholim hamonecha to push us into the hands of those wild mobs? Eicha zanachta b'zamecha lezalza b'yadzarm zivulecha. How could you abandon in anger to give to the foreigners your dwelling place? All we do is we ask Eicha, Eicha, Eicha. And in response, the kina says very simply, Zachar Hashem Mehayalanu. All we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in response is, please remember us. Which once again, Rav Chaim Friedlander tells us, means we don't understand why this is happening. There's Hester upon him here. But at least come closer. Demonstrate that you're there. Show us once again that close relationship that we had. Our inability to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, I once mentioned Moshel, my grandfather, Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, used to say, walking up to a beautiful painting, standing an inch away from the canvas and sticking your nose into it and saying, this looks like a blob of colors. It's ridiculous. You can't admire a painting from an inch away. You have to stand back until you have the perspective of the entire picture in one view, and then you can make sense of it, see what it is, how the colors all fit in. It looks like a blotch of black and a blotch of red and a splash of blue. Doesn't make any sense when you're so up close. You stand back, you admire, you see how it all fits in perfectly, it all makes sense, it all comes together to make a beautiful painting. That's what we need to take into account when we're looking at a tragedy, not understanding why it's happening. I think this is illustrated by a very powerful story that Rav Lau, Yisrael Meir Lau, writes about in his memoirs, Al Tishlach Yodcha Lana'ar, where he recounts how as a young 7-year-old boy, he was living in Pietrikov. His father was the Rav in Pietrikov. And when the Nazis rounded up all the Jews, after publicly abusing, humiliating his father, they rounded up all the Jews. They had the train cars waiting there at the train station. All the Jews were assembled on the platform. He was there with his mother and with his older brother, who was 18 years old. His name was Naftali. He's frightened, doesn't know what's going on, is very scared. Everyone's confused, mass confusion. Everyone's rushing, everyone's pushing. Soldiers are pushing everyone into wagon cars, yelling, men over there, women and children over here. He's clutching his mother's hand very tightly. And as they're being shoved into the wagon cars, all of a sudden his mother grabs him, throws him out, pushes him away, says, go to Naftali. And she yells, Tolik, take Lolik and watch him. And her 18-year-old son looks at her, what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do? She just waves at him and she gets shoved into the train cars herself and she disappeared. This poor little 7-year-old boy shrieking for his mother, he's crying, mother, mommy, 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 where are you? Yelling he wants to go to his mother, he starts pounding his brother with his fists, punching his 18-year-old brother. I want to go to my mother, I want to go to Ima, I want to go to Ima. How could she throw him away? How could she abandon him? So cruel, so vicious, so heartless, so cold, so uncaring. He was so angry. He writes, he recalls vividly, one of the most vivid memories he has of his years in the war, his brother grabbing him in a grip, and the two of them being shoved into the wagon that all the men were being thrown into. He continued to scream, kicking on the floor, yelling for his mother. People tried to calm him, tried to soothe him. He refused. He finally fell asleep exhausted after a very, very long time of screaming, throwing a temper. Where's my mother? I want my mother. And obviously, as he writes years and decades later, as horrible as an experience as that was, his own mother throwing him away, literally, without even a goodbye. She grabbed his hand off of hers and shoved him. Imagine how that poor little kid felt. His own mother, when he's frightened, when he's afraid, when he's alone, when he doesn't know what's going on, his mother throws him away, abandons him, doesn't even say goodbye, no hugs, no kisses, nothing, no soothing, comforting words, nothing, just throws him into a scary world. Obviously, she knew what was coming. And she obviously knew that the women and children are not going to make it. The working men have a chance of making it. And so she threw her son away to her older son. Watch him. And decades later, writing in his memoirs, he says, the greatest kindness she could have done for me. Greatest chesed she could have done. She saved my life. At the time it was happening, Eicha, 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 how could you do it? Makes no sense. It's cruel. It's evil. It's bad. From the retrospective view of later, decades later, what chesed, what foresight, what motherly loving kindness. That's certainly the challenge we have as well when we ask Eicha to view the Ra in our lives through that perspective also. But ultimately, a lot of it depends on us. So Friedlander writes in the Sif Seichayim, we can say Zechor Hashem Mehoyalana, we can ask God to remember us, but everything ultimately depends on how much we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God will only act with us as a reaction to how we act with Him. Hine Ein Hashem El Yireyav, God's eye is on those that fear Him, Lam Yachalim L'chasdo, those that are always hoping for His kindness. Hashem Tzilch Al Yad Yiminecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shadow who reflects and mimics what we do. The more we are capable of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will in our lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our lives, the more we'll be able to see the Zechor Hashem remembering of us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash, Bereishis Rabba, makes a beautiful connection. I think Rav Schwab in his Sefer and Chumash points this out. between the Echas that we say in mourning and Adam Harishon. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the Medrash tells us that Klai Yisrael is like Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon, I brought him into Gan Eden. I gave him mitzvos. He violated those mitzvos. I expelled him from Gan Eden. Vikonanti olav Eicha, and I mourned over that loss. Shenema, because the pasuk says, Vayomer lo Ayeka. God says to Adam, where are you? Eicha ksiv. Ayeka is the same spelling as Eicha. And so too says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bemoans Klal Yisrael, the children of Adam HaRishon, who were brought into our Gan Eden, into Eretz Yisrael. We were given mitzvos to abide by. We violated those mitzvos. We were also kicked out. V'konanti aleim Eicha, and God also mourns about us. Eicha, Eicha, Eicha. And the connection here is so telling. Eicha, Ayeka. That in response to our Eicha cries, God says, Ayeka, where are you? If you're there looking for me, then I'll respond with Zechira, I'll respond to your Eichas. Ultimately then, it's really all in our hands. Eicha atzdaba pecha la berbi adazam memunecha. Zechara de brus ben abisar, mashabirat, rodot chunecha.